In case you missed it, the world came to an end in June, and then it ended again in July and once more here in August. At least, it ended in theaters. As the summer comes to a close, so do this season's apocalyptic films. Current State contributor, MSU professor and filmmaker Jeffrey Ray offers this commentary on the end of the world through cinema.
End of the world stories were among this summer's crop of films, and most quickly went away. Seth Rogen, along with his bromantic sidekicks, party during the apocalypse in This Is the End.
What the f-
Will Smith and son Jaden bond and fight for survival in After Earth.
You did your best.
You have nothing more to prove. Now return to the ship.
And Brad Pitt remains great looking while taking on zombies in World War Z.
Declared martial law.
Daddy, what's martial law?
The question is, why such movies now? Can films be read like tea leaves or fossilized bones? Are they stealth clues of the period? Or hard indicators of collective angst of our time, or of any time?
Stop! Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy? Make them listen to me before it's too late! Listen to me.
The 1956 film, Invasion of the Body Snatchers, is set in post-war America. In a normal American town, exact alien replicants hatched out of pods and replaced their human counterparts, taking over the world one soul at a time. The national push then was for conformity, a return to pre-war normal.
Suddenly, while you're asleep, they'll absorb your minds, your memories, and you're reborn into an untroubled world.
Where everyone's the same?
Exactly.
Many an editorial or commentary from that time spoke of an America and a world that had lost its way, perhaps reaching its end.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
The 1968 film Night of the Living Dead served as a dark allegory for the tensions of an American society in great flux. Director George Romero created a low-budget horror classic, a chilling tale in which the fully living are under threat by a growing army of flesh-eating, soulless undead.
So, at this point, there is no really authentic way for us to say who or what to look for and guard yourself against. Misshapen monsters.
Reaction applied. But the greatest asset of the story was that it seemed to capture the uncertainty of the times. What was the origin of this undead plague? Where did they come from? How could they be stopped? At the end, no hero, no knight in shining armor came to the rescue. The film fades to black with that queasy uncertainty intact. The generation that came of age then flocked to see Night of the Living Dead, seeming to embrace such uncertainty. Nowadays, zombies are in the news more than nuclear annihilation. But that was not the case in 1983, when the TV movie The Day After drew a record audience of 100 million viewers. The Day After was the story of a nuclear bombing and the pandemonium that followed. As it was broadcast, counselors at a 1-800 hotline were standing by. In fact, President Reagan watched the film a few days before the broadcast and wrote in his diary that it was, quote, very effective and left me greatly depressed.
Hello? Is anybody there? Anybody at all?
The Day After was perhaps a rare moment when a TV program captured a national mood. Pods under the bed and flesh-eating zombies might represent an existential angst, but in the early 1980s, nuclear annihilation was seen as a very real possibility. Perhaps these films are markers of the times, but an end-of-the-world theme is also just plain irresistible. Action, impending doom, and maybe one last kiss before it all comes crashing down. Do sell popcorn. And a world suddenly saved by Brad Pitt or Will Smith is a great final act. This summer's end-of-the-world films may not be great art or social commentary, but such films have proven time and again to be memorable box office hits. Just not this summer. For Current State, I'm Jeffrey Ray.
And Jeffrey is an MSU professor and filmmaker. Listen for more of Jeffrey's thoughts on film here on Current State.